I'm Are You Serious? And this is my show.
Disasters, and
eventually the end of the world. Are you serious? Welcome to the weekend edition. We're here with Jeff Deal, Jody Radzik of Guruphiliac, and John Shirley, the great science fiction writer. Got a new book out called Living Shadow Stories, New and Pre-Owned. And we're going to talk about a topic that has been on many people's lips this week, or up their noses, or whatever. Keith Richards told The Rock magazine that he snorted his dad's ashes mixed with some cocaine. And, of course, the claim was later retracted as a joke, which we may or may not see as Rolling Stone's corporate spin. But it does raise a few questions, one of them being, is there anything wrong with that? I remember attending a small memorial for Kathy Acker where some people put her ashes on their tongue. And I assume they must have taken the cocaine beforehand. But most human cultures and religions have had a tradition about what we do with our dead, both in physical terms and in terms of how we relate to them and honor them and process their death. And these days it does seem sort of up for grabs. And I wonder if people here have any opinions about how this sort of thing should be dealt with.
Well, you know, whatever floats your boat. So if Keith got off on his father's ashes, he didn't hurt anyone. I don't see what's wrong with it. I don't think it would really get him high, except maybe through
some
kind of...
The coke would get him high, but...
Yeah, the coke would get him high, and maybe...
Why didn't anybody ask him what it meant to him to do that? Nobody did, if it's true that he did that. I think it's possible he might have, and that afterwards his family was really embarrassed.
That's come out later on. I think at first the corporate, you know, the Rolling Stones spokesman came and said, oh, it was just a joke, because, you know, they want to be able to travel and go into countries and not be banned and play the Super Bowl. And, you know, if their lead guitar player seems like a ghoul to, like, 99%, which he already does anyway, but people can sort of ignore it.
Well, I think it triggered a lot of superstition in people, too. It's this idea of violating the dead. I mean,
I think for him, it's probably magic.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, there are a lot of rituals around death that are at least ostensibly aimed at the dead person. But the dead person's dead. They don't ever see it.
Right.
I mean, does everybody feel that way about the dead? Like, does it matter? Or, I mean, it's all about the subjective experience of the people who are still alive, obviously.
It depends on if you accept some kind of cosmology of death, right? Do you go to heaven? Do you go to hell? Do you go here? Do you go there? If you accept one of those things, that there is persistence of the personality after death, well, then, you're going to be pro or con.
Does it matter what we do with the body if there is a persistence? I mean, and you're into the Vedanta. Is there a tradition? Is it important?
Well, I think in Hinduism there are traditions, and I couldn't say I'm an expert on those. They burn people in Hinduism. They take you out to the burning ghats, and they burn you. And then that's it. They leave your bones there, and the jackals come and eat the remains, and that's sort of the honorable way to die. They have a whole series of rituals and rites that go along with that.
But it's about surrendering the body to the universe and just saying that is not the
dead meat.
There's accepting transiency in life, and that's and that whole ritual emphasizes that somehow.
That sounds like the perspective of a godless West Coast sodomite. I mean, I think most average people, like Americans or whatever, they've done some level, this focusing on the dead person really does reinforce this person isn't gone, and it helps that it's a palliative for their own fear of their own mortality. It's not as enlightened as that for most people.
I love the dead before they're cold. They're bluing flesh for me to hold. Cadaver eyes upon me see nothing.
Yeah, well,
I love the dead. Alice Cooper, ladies and gentlemen. Alice Cooper, thank you.
Some ghouls pretend to be Christians, and others snort their father's ashes. You know, everybody makes their own choice in life.
If it meant something to him, to snort his daddy, and
you know,
if he
I think
did,
it, I think that's his. I think that's his magical.
I wonder how did he feel about his dad? Did he actually have a good relationship?
Oh, they had a
There are cultures that do a certain amount of cannibalism of the dead, and they don't eat the whole. It's not like a big feast, but they eat some part of the dead.
Well, that was kind
of
like touching the Kathy Acker's ashes to some people. Did that to their tongue? Is that cannibalism?
Kind of. A step removed.
I've let it be known that when I die, I want my friends to just cut me up and fry me.
Do we have to wait?
well, you can have a little piece
now. You need to be fanned up a little bit, aren't you? We need to fan you up a little bit. If Keith, in his own subjective context, believed he was honoring his father by snorting him with some cocaine, then that's all good.
I don't find it, even when I try to see it through, you know, like the middle America's eyes, I don't find it all that offensive. I mean, I'm not.
I think people are religious. I mean, I definitely think, I mean, the rumor is probably a threat to the Rolling Stones touring machine and to, you know, appearing on, the Disney Channel or.
They want to keep their mainstream appeal.
You know.
Probably, yeah. I guess it isn't mainstream to snort your daddy's ashes.
It just seems ghoulish.
I guess it might be a little fringy. I guess it might.
To those of us who, you know, not know people who like do blood sports.
I am sentimental about graves. I want a grave. I want a gravestone.
Really?
I want a coffin.
That's interesting.
Cemetery. Because I grew up reading Poe.
I grew up with a goth sensibility.
Bela Lugosi's dead.
Bela Lugosi's dead. And I grew up with that whole atmosphere where Lon Chaney wandering through the crosses and the ground mist. And to me, as a child seeing this, it was actually a very homey sort of thing. Uh-huh. And I found it weirdly comforting in some way. And
so would it matter if that really happened? I mean, isn't it just important that the people around you who are going to be caretaking this after your body after it did just tell you that they're going to do all that for you and then they don't do it?
No, right? Probably.
Would that be okay?
Assuming there's no afterlife and assuming I'm not going to be there standing behind them, tapping them on the shoulder.
Yeah. What are the possibilities that we'd actually be conscious of, you know, I asked to be buried, you know? I'm going to come to you in your dream tonight. I asked to be buried here.
But it has occurred to me that a grave is always temporary. I've noticed that they don't actually last very long. 100 years is pretty good. 200 years, and then it becomes an apartment complex. Right. It becomes a parking lot or something, and then you have the movie Poltergeist, and people get mad when you do that to their graves. At least I'd like to believe they do. I'd like to believe they get pissed and come back. And there are.
Well, you've written this sort of stuff. I mean, do you take it seriously at all?
No, I don't know if there's an afterlife. If there is, it's not going to be like what people think. But it's a very poetic sort of thing to me in a kind of kitschy gothic sort of way. Right. And I'd like to see one of those graveyards where there are roots from trees that have gone into the graves and they've actually drawn up some bodies and you can see the shapes of the bodies in the roots. This does exist in some places. And that would be a great memorial. You should start a business where kind of like bonsai trees.
Ground-penetrating radar. You could actually take photographs of it or get images of it with ground-penetrating radar, probably.
I think we're onto something here, actually.
You could do that. You could, sonar remembrance of
the artwork changes as the roots incorporate the body, and you can take, you know, images of it.
They can take a picture once a year or once every 6 months.
There's probably some trees that really do this, and then you could
plant a tree right on top. I mean, the roots are.
And you could do a bonsai thing. Make sure that it absorbs the corpse, and then you expose this corpse in a root. That could be great. It could be to have a whole sort of a back to nature thing, and yet at the same time a memorial. I'm volunteering for it. I want my wife, Mickey. Will you arrange that for me?
Get it in the will.
I'm thinking of
here you go. Here you go. You get like a glass tank that you're buried in, and you can see a cross section of your body and the soil as the roots come in.
This is getting into
Lenin
and Mao territory
You could see the roots go into the body and spread out through the body and take the shape of the body.
And every year
glass.
You take a picture, or every month, or every week, even you can watch yourself. Well, you can't watch yourself. Everybody else can watch
you. If you're an Earth First guy, you got to be down with that.
And then
right?
that tree is you. You're in that tree.
Yeah. It's very, very Earth First of you.
Yeah. Well, speaking of politics, moving into politics, during the capture of British sailors and Marines last week, one poll I heard about showed that about 95% of Brits opposed military action against Iran, and the same discussion that I saw on the news said that the attitude of a lot of the commentators, both citizens and writers, was that the British troops shouldn't have been in the Gulf in the first place. And that was pretty much... You know, they dismissed it on those terms. I mean, is this all good, or is there something maybe a little troubling about it?
Well, it was part of a deal that had been made in a back room between Bush and Blair and
right.
Powell, the neocons and
right.
The Brits. And so it was kind of inevitable from that point. Kind of machination that people have no control over, and it's only barely has anything to do with visible government.
Yeah, I mean, legally it seems absolutely correct to me. And you're saying, I mean, the U.S. troops and the British troops have no more business being there than
they have no choice.
The Iranian revolutionary
in Iraqi waters.
In Iraqi waters and Iranian waters, anywhere they should.
Well, we're occupying Iraq, so we have
we have presumed business, but it's. I consider it, you know, common left-wing rhetoric, an illegal occupation.
Yeah, of course.
So,
but still, it's different than going into Iranian waters. It's a country that we're not.
But I guess the other aspect of it to me, the thing that gives me pause, perhaps, is that people in Europe, particularly, might not think of Ahmadinejad or whatever the hell his name is as. Being a serious problem. We've had a show, we've had another discussion on this particular program, the weekend edition, about people not taking the Wahhabist, Islamist folks too seriously. And as a lot of people tend to think that the world, if we're not the good guys, we must be the bad guys, and the other guys must then... be the good guys. I mean, is there...
We're all bad guys.
Is this an example of losing of losing the so-called war on terror of America, like, so blowing its reputation?
I just want to say that I don't think we should assume that the Iranians were not lying just because we don't trust our own side either.
Right.
I think it's quite possible that we... were in Iraqi waters, but apparently there is ambiguity about the borderline. So it's maybe there's actually no truth about where we were in terms of national borders because it hasn't been decided.
Right. But did you guys hear about the I guess it was Friday news that the day that they released the hostages, there were four or five British troops killed in Basra down south where the British are occupying, and it's being linked. It's as if Iran says, "Okay, we'll let your 15 soldiers go who are in our waters, but guess what? We can still control the situation down there." And they actually ordered those troops attacked down in Basra as a.
It's possible. It's speculation, though.
Yeah,
it is. But I mean, if you look at the timing of it, it's not every day that that they lose British soldiers in Basra.
That's true. It is.
It's a plausible scenario. And if you assume that happened, then it adds another element to it, where actually Iran was in control of that, of the whole scenario, and that probably planned that from the beginning. It wouldn't be that difficult. And then it turns into a PR campaign for Iran.
That's what I thought.
It does seem like Iran is awfully good tactically. Yeah. I mean, about everything.
It makes them look good diplomatically, but then also it sends a signal to their allies in the area and also to the U.S. troops and whoever in there that they have control of the theater to some degree.
Right.
That's true. It could well have played out that way. Well, we can't know, but the timing is suggestive. You know, I there's something I want to say about the Iraq War. Can I say it?
Just absolutely.
It's only slightly out of phase with our subject matter. Only slightly. It seems to me that nobody is raising the obvious point with both the British and American forces in Iraq. There was a set of goals set out for the invasion of Iraq. We have achieved all those goals. We successfully invaded. We successfully took control of the area. You can argue whether we retained control successfully, but we did take control. They did surrender to us. We dissolved their army. We dissolved their government. Saddam and his two sons and other people have been executed. Right. They're gone. We've installed the armature of a democratic government. Allegedly, it's a democratic government. There was a vote.
Right.
There was a government voted in, except for a complete control to the extent of overall complete security. All those goals that the White House set out have been met.
Well, so, certainly, if they were going to have a nuclear program, they would be incapable of having a nuclear program.
Oh, and they now. And all possibility. Good point. I forgot that all possibility of WMDs has been removed. Obviously, they don't have any, and they're not going to have any in the near future. We've taken care of that.
Never found any.
We never found any definitely. And
of course, though, the one stated goal, based on a flawed idea, was that it was a some kind of a nest for Al Qaeda and Al Qaeda like forces.
And in that
case, we created that.
We've done the opposite.
We created that.
We've created a nest.
In every other particular, according to their rules, the people who set this up. The war has been won. Therefore, there's no excuse for not leaving.
They could have declared victory way back.
Could have declared victory. They could have left early.
Yeah,
they
should
have turned it over to these guys.
You should be careful with your reasoning when you give them, because then they could just turn around and say, well, we've done such a good job so far, we might as well stay on and finish it up perfectly.
You know, to my view of the reasoning in that case is that, you know, that wouldn't hold up. Because
but the problem is, I mean, the government.
The big predominant idea of why we're there is accomplished. And nobody ever mentions that we really have, that if we do withdraw, we wouldn't have withdrawn without accomplishing what we wanted to do. In Vietnam, we didn't accomplish it because it became a communist state.
Right.
In Iraq has not become a Muslim autocracy. It may,
but I think what they think is that if we leave, it might. I mean, that government might not be able to stand up for more than weeks or.
And the biggest goal was to have permanent bases over there. And if you can't have stability, then you can't.
No, that was the honest goal. I'm talking about what they told the American public was the goal.
Right.
Now you're talking about what their real goals and their control of the oil and so forth. But I'm just talking about calling them on their bull. That's what I'm talking about.
Mission accomplished.
Love is the only weapon. Shit!
Are you serious?